you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Katie Lambert.
And I'm Sarah Dowdy.
And Sarah and I, as usual, were talking about books today, and I'd read The Lost City of Z over the summer, which, if you haven't picked it up, is amazing. It's all about this search in the Amazon for a what may or may not be a mythical city. I'm not going to tell you the answer.
It's something we might actually want a podcast on in the future, but it got us talking about how the search for lost or mythical cities sometimes unearths a lot of real stuff, and we actually do some real exploring. And one of the best examples we thought of for this is the Golden City of El Dorado. The streets were supposed to be paved in gold, and obviously all the gold-hungry explorers went looking for it and consequently mapped a lot of South America. And another one was the fabled Seven Cities of Cibola, which was supposed to have castles in the air. And in the hunt for this, explorers mapped a lot of the southwestern United States.
And it's not true that space is the only unexplored frontier, really, because according to NOAA, 95% of the underwater realm is still unexplored. So all you adventurers out there, get out your scuba equipment. So today we're going to talk about another lost city, Atlantis.
Yeah, that NOAA fact probably should have clued you in.
So Atlantis starts back with Plato. He's the first real primary source we have for any of this. And he'd started on what was supposed to be a trilogy of dialogues. Book one was Timaeus. He did half of his second book, Critias. And he never did book three. And all the dialogues talk about the creation of world, the nature of man, and they also mention Atlantis.
And Atlantis, the story of it starts with Poseidon, the god of the ocean, who was given the island of Atlantis when the Greek gods divvied up everything. And he fell in love with a mortal woman, Cleito, and they had 10 kids, 5 sets of twin boys. And he remakes the island that he's given for her, surrounding it with moats, and it's just the ideal utopian land.
Right, and it's very circular in design. There's an island in the middle, there's a moat, there's a strip of land in a circle, another moat, another strip of land in a circle, and then more water. And no one could get to the island because, of course, there weren't ships at the time, so it was cut off from everything else. But over time, he gave the best part of his land to his oldest son, Atlas, and it grew to be an incredibly prosperous place.
They had bridges and canals and connected it to the outside world again and just built it up so it was this splendid city with castles and everything you could imagine. Horse tracks randomly were a sign of a really great city, so be assured Atlantis had them.
But like with so many great civilizations, it became greedy and corrupt, and the Atlanteans began fighting wars and enslaving the people they conquered, and they even went after the great city-state of Athens.
And they finally got their comeuppance when an earthquake swallowed them in 9,600 BC.
Which in my notes after that I wrote, bam, so that's the end of Atlantis.
That's what happens.
So that's the story.
Yeah, that's the story, and to me, it sounds like a nice story about a civilization that has become too corrupt and too violent, which, from Plato's perspective, that's a pretty good warning for the city of Athens. Watch out, Athenians. Maybe we're also becoming too combative or too money-driven. But not everyone saw it as this allegory or myth.
Right. Some of his own students thought he was telling this truth, like Crantor, although Aristotle, Plato's most famous student, said he who invented Atlantis also destroyed it, trying to say, you know, come on, this is a story.
So most people at the time accepted it as a myth, as a story that Plato had created.
A moral lesson, if you will.
But as time went on, people started to get more interested in this myth and trying to interpret it as fact and hunt for the lost city of Atlantis. And the idea that there was a huge continent that was past the Pillars of Hercules, which is the modern-day Straits of Gibraltar, which is where Plato placed Atlantis, was pretty unlikely as we got sophisticated or more sophisticated ocean mapping technology in the 20th century.
And learning how the plates worked and things.
Yeah, there probably wasn't going to be this enormous continent under the Atlantic Ocean. But that hasn't stopped lots of people from placing Atlantis pretty much anywhere in the world. We have recent candidates have been the Caribbean, South America, Antarctica, Ireland, French Polynesia, the Canaries, the Azores, Tunisia, West Africa, Sweden, Iceland, and Spain.
So basically anywhere.
I'm sure there are other ones too. Basically, yeah, anywhere you can think of, Atlantis.
But my favorite connection with Atlantis is the fascination the Nazis had with it, which is completely insane. And it starts with a Swedish guy named Olaf Rudbeck, who said he had found Atlantis in Sweden, of all places, which, of course, has nothing to do with anything that Plato wrote.
The Pillars of Hercules?
Yeah, not so much. He said that the biblical Japheth came to Sweden after the Great Flood and then gave birth to Atlas, which perhaps
it's
you remember
Poseidon's
is Poseidon's son. No, it's someone else's, according to Rudbeck. And he came up with lots of rationalizations whenever his didn't make sense. For example, Sweden is nowhere near the Straits of Gibraltar. Well, perhaps that was a mistranslation then. And some of his research was picked up by a theosophist named Helena Blavatsky, who expounded on some of his stuff and added some more of her own.
I was excited to see her name in Katie's outline because she popped up in an article I wrote a few years ago about karma.
And secularizing it.
Yeah, she's actually considered responsible for secularizing karma in the West. So it's not just a religious thing. It's something that can be in a pop song.
Right, that we use somewhat incorrectly all the time. But this particular religion became popular when the Third Reich decided that Christianity had too much of a Jewish influence and maybe people should find some other religion to take part in. And her idea was that when Atlantis sank, some of the elite priests escaped from the city and they went to Shambhala, a mythical place in the Himalayas. And the Aryans, a completely new race, learned from the Atlanteans all of their wisdom, which she said involved things like inventing airplanes and explosives. Although I'd like to add, the Theosophists also said there was an entire sunken continent named Mu, so perhaps they aren't the most reliable.
And they were waiting for the Aquarian Age, a time of enlightenment and brotherhood. So
it makes me want to sing the Age of Aquarius, but I'm not going to
do it. We're going to avoid that.
So, of course, who likes this Aryan stuff? That would be the Nazis, especially Heinrich Himmler, who believed in all sorts of weird stuff like glacial cosmogony, which was the idea that the whole universe was a conflict between fire and ice, basically since the dawn of time.
It's kind of James Taylor-esque.
It is.
I'm sorry, I don't want to compare him to the Nazis.
Sorry, James
It's not what
Taylor.
I was trying to do.
But he was in charge as part of the SS, as part of the National Heritage Institute, and so he had access to all sorts of scientists, scholars, and archaeologists who he sent out on missions to find Atlantis. We know for sure he sent people to Tibet to look for this place in Shambhala where perhaps the Atlanteans might have given their wisdom to the Aryans.
And that's a common theme in people who believe there was an Atlantis, that they passed on their wisdom to the great ancient civilizations. A lot of people have a hard time, or I don't know if it's a lot, some people have a hard time accepting that the megaliths in Great Britain were built, you know, just people were inspired to build them and think that maybe the people of Atlantis taught them how. Pyramids, that's another popular example.
Anything like that, just saying, well, it's too advanced for the people of that time to
come
up with. It must have been part of the super race.
Anything that's too impressive, the Atlanteans must have helped out.
Yeah, they didn't believe that particular Tibetan city that they went to could have been formed by the people who lived there, which is insulting. But another Himmler associate named Edmund Kiss decided that it was in the Andes, and another one came up with some idea of polar shift and runes coming from the Atlanteans, and then Otto Huth decided it was in the Canary Islands. But this wasn't even about history, and that's the thing about Atlantis. People read what they want to into it, and for the Nazis, and especially Himmler, it was a way to figure out the racial superiority, giving the pseudoscientific reason or pseudo-historical reason as to why Atlantis was so great and so was the Aryan race.
Yeah, one of the theories that's a little more accepted than those that aliens and teaching ancient civilizations is that Atlantis was in Crete. The accomplished Minoan civilization there collapsed in the middle of the second millennium BC, probably from a volcanic eruption that was on Thera, which is the modern Santorini.
So that
theory holds a little more weight for some people than the more off-the-wall ideas.
As the aliens, which I seriously think that's my favorite one, and the idea goes that they accidentally blew themselves up with a nuclear bomb.
Oops.
Another moral lesson about the dangers of technology, but a little bit different, or the one that they were behind the Cro-Magnon cave paintings.
Well, a lot of these potential Atlantis locales sound not very hospitable, Antarctica especially, I'd say. There's one in particular that might be the Atlantis you would most want to visit, should it be true, or even if there's not an Atlantis.
Sarah and I are happy to go and explore this to our fullest abilities.
And that's Bimini in the Bahamas. Edgar Cayce, who was a clairvoyant psychic, he would go into trances and read fortunes and predict things. He had a vision that Atlantis was located from the Gulf of Mexico to Gibraltar. So at least we have the Pillars of Hercules in there.
Unlike the Sweden theory.
But it was destroyed in a final catastrophic event circa 10,000 BC.
Which again puts it about where Plato said.
Or earlier, right?
Yeah.
A lot earlier, yeah. But he founded an association for research and enlightenment, and that group today has focused their efforts on the Bimini Island chain. They go on dives and search for traces of Atlantis. They actually believed that Bimini were mountaintops in Atlantis. They were really high ground and that the world's oceans were a lot lower. And he claimed that there was a record hall on Bimini that was identical to one under the Sphinx, which just sounds like a really tangential connection. And this housed all of the ancient records of Atlantis.
But it's interesting how that so many of them seem to try to tie together all these cultures that have nothing in common. Like, they couldn't have sprouted up independently of one another. They must have come from that one original source.
One civilization that basically gave everyone the blueprints for advanced civilization.
And of course it must have been Atlantis. But you had said something cool that was a little bit more recent.
Yeah, just earlier this year, Google Earth launched a new underwater search tool. And so like people do on Google Earth, they start looking around and folks started noticing a grid-like pattern off the western coast of Africa, which, of course, is another suspected Atlantis site. I mean, what isn't? And the product manager of Ocean in Google Earth debunked the rumors and said that the lines were, quote, artificial data remnants left by sonar-equipped boats collecting data from the ocean floor. So that's kind of a lot of technical jargon for me, but as far as he knew, the research from those boats, or the research that those boats were conducting, was not Atlantis-related at all. It does look cool, though. I saw a picture of it. It looks kind of like an underwater street grid.
Well, and if you're looking for that kind of thing, that would be a good place to start. But definitely. You also had a really good quote that you told me earlier.
Yeah, and this is why people aren't going to give up searching for Atlantis. Richard Ellis, who is the author of Imagining Atlantis, wrote that Atlantis lives on in people's minds largely because you cannot prove it doesn't exist. You can't search every inch of the ocean bottom, and so the hope remains alive and the promise of finding treasures in sunken palaces.
It's like that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue looking.
Except under all of the world's oceans.
Which is a little harder to find, perhaps. But let us know what you think about Atlantis and what your ideas are, because I talked to a couple people who actually thought that Thera was a plausible explanation. So email us at historypodcast@howstuffworks.com.
And if you're into conspiracy theories and Nazis and all that, you should check out our newest podcast, Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, on iTunes.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the Stuff You Missed in History Class blog on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.